This is the Murphy, Sam, and Jody Weekend Replay Podcast, picking out some of our favorite moments from this past week, and it starts now.
Social media connect.
You know, we love hearing from you on Instagram and Facebook and connecting with you there. We also love to dig into your email that you send to murphysamandjody.com. And so Janine has sent one based on, we were talking about how, and Murphy's correct, you cannot do, you mentally cannot do more than one thing at a time, and trying to switch back and forth constantly, thinking that you're multitasking, is what wears you out mentally. Huh. It's the switching, right, that gets you.
Yeah, it is. It wears you out.
Janine said, I was listening to you guys. I have a half hour commute and I always listen. Your discussion about multitasking being tiring hit home. As a middle school special ed teacher, I thought I was tired because of making constant decisions. Nope. She says, here's a snippet of my typical day. Bell rings. Still trying to figure out how to teach this math lesson. Head to monitor hallway. R can't get her locker open. Have to help open and lock. Think that I better get her a pass or she'll be late for class. Get locker open. Head to get pass for R. J can't find his history binder. Find it on the counter in the classroom. K asks for a snack. Try to remember if she's had one earlier or not that day. Still heading to get the pass for R. A doesn't like my light covers. G just needs to tell me a funny story. Pen informs me he needs help with math. Finally get to my desk for pass and realize R is in my class this hour anyway. Start to take attendance. It goes on and on and on, guys. Wow. All this within less than 10 minutes.
Huh. That's incredible.
But I did get a hug in that time.
Oh,
I know, right? Yes. So sweet.
That is
just a little glimpse into a teacher's mind and the switching that constantly happens.
Well, and I've read about that, because the brain actually, that's the reason muscle memory is the thing. Mm-hmm. The brain doesn't want to have to work that hard. It can't work that hard constantly. So that when you do something that's routine, that's the brain's way of coping.
Of giving
it.
You yeah. a break.
Correct.
It freaks me out when I do something that I don't remember doing.
Yes. Like an autopilot.
Yeah, right. It's like, I poured that cup of coffee. I must have poured it because I'm drinking it.
Yeah.
Right. Janine, thank you for that beautiful glimpse into your day. We appreciate you so, so much. Send us anything, anytime.
Jody's Hollywood Outsider.
Brought to you by Indeed.
Stranger Things fans, we've got some more Stranger Things news. Not just that they're going to start filming again this summer for the fifth and final season. Right. And you know, we need to re-binge that fourth season, because it...
Yeah, it's kind of lost on me. Vecna was confusing for you. I got it.
Okay, good. Well, good for you.
I'm sorry you weren't capable of...
Right. I was confused about how Vecna got from the, you know, the lab into the upside down and all that. But I'll get it. No worries.
Well, he was thrust into the upside down.
Oh, okay.
By right. 11.
That's right. Okay. Now it's all coming back. The story is this. One of our favorite characters of from the whole Stranger Things universe was Eddie Munson, who was introduced in season 4 unapologetically himself. We all knew that kid.
Oh, yeah.
He was so great.
The metalhead kind of dude who was
hair alone. Yeah. It's like,
yeah. But he also showed such vulnerability. I'm sorry. He was fabulous. And everybody wanted more of him. And I'm not going to say anything else about it. But the word is he's getting an origin story. It's a book. It's being written first. But that means promise. That means that Netflix will talk about and look at making it.
Mm-hmm.
So the Eddie Munson origin story, if you couldn't get enough of Eddie, is coming.
Oh, not even Billy got his own book.
Oh, I would have bought that one.
Our favorite thing really is to hear from you, and you can reach out to us a number of different ways.
Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
Facebook. Jody, you got a message from Sue.
Hi,
Jody.
Sue.
Love you all.
Thank you, Sue.
One little mistake you make is pronouncing the word often.
I make lots of mistakes, by the way.
Often?
The T is silent. Why they put letters in words when they are silent, I will never know. Thanks again for getting me going in the mornings.
Sue,
often?
I've heard that my... Okay, do you say often?
I don't know how I say it. Honestly, it's one of those words I don't think about.
Right, and I say often.
If it's said fast enough, you don't hear the T, even if somebody's saying the T and shouldn't be saying it. I don't know.
In my life, when I've heard people say often without the T, I'm thinking, why are they saying it like that? So it seems to me there might be a couple of ways to say it.
I'm looking at dictionary.com, and they have often, often, and often.
Ooh.
So they do have the T. And okay. Over here at the Merriam-Webster, often and often.
Oh, yeah.
So it's an either way thing. I think I say often just because it's lazy.
Okay.
Sam. Without the T.
I don't know that I ever say the word ever.
Wait, you don't say the word ever or the word often?
Often.
I say it with a T.
Like there are some people that insist poinsettia or poinsettia, and the two really, the dictionary says it's either way.
Christmas flower.
See, this is another one of those things that makes the English language so difficult for anybody to learn when it's not their primary language.
The one I know, and I've tried to fix it, is the number zero. Whenever we give out numbers,
right.
You know, I'm always just saying 305, 405.
You're supposed to say zero.
Yeah, and I've tried to fix myself to say zero. Sounds too.
It's harder hard to change an old habit when you're speaking because you're not thinking about how you're pronouncing everything.
Well, you know,
it's not.
I think that's an old school thing. You know why you say O is because zero used to be the operator. I guess zero still does get you to the operator, but O for operator, Z for as a kid, I'm sure that's how I learned it too, because it's the only number on the phone dial that doesn't have any letters associated with it. Right? Is that correct?
Let me whip out my phone here.
I don't know. I don't look at it that often.
Often. Thank you, Sue. Janine had emailed us earlier about her mind and the constant switching she does as a middle school special ed teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's trying to figure out why it was wearing her out, right?
Because her brain is constantly switching, trying to switch to a million things. Of course it wears anybody's brain out. Murphy's always said that.
And she tracked for 10 minutes, right? A one task that she was attempting to do and how many times she was interrupted and the number of decisions she was making.
Yeah. Had to constantly switch. If you think you're multitasking, you're really just switching constantly. And that does wear your brain out. It's a great reminder. And I had said that what freaks me out is the muscle memory of the brain when you do something and you don't remember doing it. It's something so routine that you... Like, did I make that coffee, that cup of coffee that I'm drinking? Because I don't remember making it.
Yeah.
That's one. But another one that I don't enjoy, it doesn't happen to me often. I have never, ever in my life taken much medicine. You guys know that. I barely can remember to take vitamins.
Yeah.
But for that stupid little head pain that I have, that I had the MRI for a couple weeks ago, I have something I'm supposed to take every night. One little pill I'm supposed to take every night. And do you know, Murphy knows this. How many times have I said, oh my God, did I take that? Because it became a part of my routine. It sits on my bathroom vanity. And when I put my moisturizer on and brush my hair before getting in the bed, it's like, did I take that or not?
Well, you know there's a solution to that.
No. No.
It's time, Jody.
No, one pill.
Look, I tried and I went back away from that. I told you my theory on those little organizers, right? Those things drive me crazy. So until I am forced to do those, I'll take my chances. Right? Exactly.
Wow.
I cannot.
I'm surprised that you aren't doing that, Murphy.
I did for a while, and it winds up taking 10-15 minutes every Sunday night. I'm not doing it anymore. I mean, I haven't done it in quite some time.
15 minutes
I would rather have a medicine cabinet that looks like a psycho person.
Oh, and it does.
You know, on Medicaid, which I do have a lot of stuff that I take.
Yeah.
But, you know, not because I'm a psycho, but because of the things
I have to do it for memory now.
Okay,
because I take some in the morning and some in the afternoon.
Sure.
So I have to put them in an organizer. Otherwise, it's like, wait,
because muscle memory.
Yeah.
Right, because you do it without thinking. That's the point. Careful of things you do without
thinking.
So
true.
Murphy's been going through all this old footage from his family's archives of their what?
My family archives.
Help me with the right word.
8mm film.
Eight millimeter film.
My grandfather had a bunch of that, and we had to have it transferred because who has a projector these days and a screen? Nobody.
But
so,
see, your father and his siblings never did anything with it. You are the grandson in this scheme. family, whatever. He's the grandson. Murphy's the grandson here, but Murphy is more the historian of the family. You really are. You just find all old things cool.
I've always found it fascinating since I was a kid, but I also think it's an important story to tell, like we were talking about last week here on the show, you know? But unfortunately, I wish that my dad and his siblings had done something with it, because some of this film is just not going to be salvageable. It can't be shown. It's from the 1930s and 40s when my grandparents were first married before they had kids. And I would like to see some of that, but I'm not going to be able to. So
what's funny is the funny thing is Murphy's out in his office in his man cave watching all this stuff now that you've had it transferred, and you don't know what you're about to see. Like that's the beauty of the in the moment. You're just watching. You have no idea what you're about to see. And he called me the other day. I wasn't home. I was grocery shopping. He was like, I just came across Skipper's burlesque films.
Oh, yeah, that's
whoa.
Right.
Whoa,
yeah.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
So, yeah, so apparently, I mean, he and his army buddies, and I knew he had some of those.
Yeah.
But a lot of them we just pitched, because it's like, I'm not going to pay to have somebody transfer those, you know. But apparently one of them got in the mix of things. And but look, they're very tame by today's standards.
Still,
you know
Sam
what I'm
wants to see.
Well, so, I'm trying to. Okay, so his buddies were pretending to do burlesque.
No,
or it was
they
actually
were at a burlesque show.
No, this is
a
like
real show.
Yeah, this is like 1940s pinup kind of.
And they showed
stuff.
Up and they filmed some of the show,
right.
And
oh,
it's
wow.
on your
so
family
for example,
movies.
That's cool.
There's a bull chase. The lady's got she's doing a matador thing with the blanket, and there's a bull out there. And
I think I've seen that show.
Right, and apparently, to be able to get away from the bull, you have to take off your clothes and run.
You have to put your fingers at the top of your head.
That's too distractible.
The second part of it is it's a yoga session. They're learning how to do yoga. And apparently, to be able to get into the position you get into, you have to take off. Now, the thing is, none of this, there are still clothing that remains. There's no nudity in any of this stuff. But,
still, you know.
It's burlesque and yoga.
Right, exactly.
Last night at home, you'll enjoy this, Sam, this story. I'm sitting on the sofa minding my own business. You know, the dog's trying to jump up and we're going, no. I'm looking at my phone. I think we had just had dinner. And Murphy's sitting next to me, not on the sofa, but the other one. There's two sofas. Anyway, he doesn't sit next to me sometimes. Anyway, no, you're on the love seat. I'm on the sofa. There's a table between, whatever. We're just sitting there. And I never know what he's looking at, but it's usually something technical or, you know, looking up some electric car thing.
Or something productive, yes.
Oh, that's right. Self-improvement. Anyway.
Way to dismiss it.
2 seconds in, he's like, oh, cool. He's like, Jody, I just got the recipe for the peanut butter balls I used to have at school in the cafeteria.
Oh, cool.
It's called cafeteria-style peanut butter balls, oddly enough.
What's so funny?
How did you get it?
I Googled it. Really complex maneuver.
But what's funny is it's three ingredients. You want to tell them what they are?
Yeah, I was surprised. Well, for one thing, different cafeterias made it differently. The simplest one that I found were these three ingredients. Peanut butter, honey, and powdered milk.
Powdered milk?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what he said. He's like, powdered milk? Wow. And I'm like, oh, cool. And then he gets quiet, and I get quiet, and I'm looking, and he goes, hey, do we have any powdered milk?
He wants to make them now.
I'm like, I'm sorry. We have honey, and we have peanut butter, but we do not have powdered milk. And I swear, I thought you were going to get up and go to the store.
I thought about it for a second, but, you know. But that, I didn't know that that's how, you know how you're.
It's so cool to know that, though.
The stuff you grew up with like that in the cafeteria, that for what it brings back good memories. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I never knew how those were made now. And the article was an interesting read because it's true. So many schools now either don't do dessert or because of peanut allergies, that's not something that's served anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So
how big of a ball? We didn't have peanut butter balls in my school.
I don't remember peanut butter balls.
This is only Murphy.
You don't remember peanut butter balls?
How big of a ball?
I mean, it was about the size of a golf ball, and it was sitting inside of one of those little, like, Jell-O cups, that perforated thing that you could flatten out. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
What? I'm going to make that for you. I don't want to make a cafeteria-style amount.
They also have have one with a chocolate layer, too, that are cafeteria. They didn't make those in my cafeteria, but those are good, too.
Okay,
but
cool.
But that's six ingredients, so a little more complex.
I can handle six ingredients, too, if you want.
Yeah, but you don't have powdered milk.
How about we put both of them at MurphySamAndJody.com? That work?
Let's do it. Go get it. When you love a show, a franchise, something in pop culture that is yours,
friends.
It's hard not to go back to it often. Mm-hmm. And there are times when I have wanted secretly, not even verbalizing it, wanted to get back into Game of Thrones just for me again. And if I did, it would be like my fourth time through it. So I've not done it. You know, I'm like, let me just save it and wait and wait and wait. But let me tell you who came to me and was interested and wants to watch it and wanted me to watch with her is Phoebe.
Oh, wow.
Phoebe's 18 now. And, you know, before, a couple of years ago when she would walk in, I'd pause it and go, what do you want? What do you want? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Because it's like this,
I hear
this
a lot of scenes that are, yeah.
Yeah. It's not even the violence. It's the other stuff. It's like, yeah. Phoebe, you can't see this.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Are you the kind of person that would
spoil? No.
Not spoil, but like, oh, you got to pay attention to this part.
No, I won't. Here's what happened. It has begun.
Mm-hmm.
She asked me about potentially reading them. And I was like, Phoebe, they're very hard to read if you don't have these mental pictures. And I know her. She'll stop. And she would never get the full. She has a lot of friends who have watched it and love it. I'm like, Phoebe, you would love it. I know you would love it. She's worried about the violence. I'm like, some of it's going to be hard to watch. It's very rough.
Yeah.
Some of it. And she said, well, I really do think I want to watch it. Would you like to watch it with me? And I'm like, yeah! I want any excuse to get back into that world for me. So a couple things happened. We've watched the first two episodes together. Bless her. She knows, Murphy, to pause when she has a question. She pauses it. She also asked me to please watch with subtitles. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
All right. But she's correct. She understands so much more.
Yeah.
With subtitles. And so we're watching with subtitles. We've watched two episodes. She's so funny with some of the shock. She's like, oh my gosh, they're brother and sister. I'm like, yeah, welcome to this world. I'm sorry. Yep.
And that's just episode one.
Yeah. Way to get so much better.
But anyway, and it was funny because I had a moment too where I paused and I said, Phoebe, you're right. This is going to be hard to watch with you. And she goes, I know. And that was the not violence, but the other stuff because she's my child.
Yeah.
So she says, yeah, but we have a good relationship. And she wants me to watch with her. Although I said, look, I've seen it so many times. If you have time and I don't, you know, watch without me and we can catch up later together. Mm-hmm. You know, I can answer questions for you.
So has someone been pushed out of a tower already?
Yes. That's where she asked about the brother and the sister. The other day, Murphy and I found ourselves in our old neighborhood. The one we lived in for.
Found ourselves. Oh, you mean, yes, we were driving and found ourselves.
Right.
We misheard you there.
We weren't meditating.
I thought you were just speaking transcendentally or something.
Yeah. No. One by the golf course?
Yes. The little house, the very small
public course.
House.
I know that's just for clarification.
The one in the country club?
Right.
Over by the lakes and the yachts?
No.
The public golf course, yes.
That small little house where we had the babies and they were little and we lived there for a very long time and I had zero closet space, which is why we bought all the armoires. Remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
How many did you have?
Three.
We had three.
Well, I think we bought two and one was my grandmother's or something like that.
Right. And one was used for like a TV or something like that. Wow. It's not like I had clothes in all the armoires. Anyhow, we found ourselves in our old neighborhood and it was like, I just said, look, for old time's sake, would you like to just drive around? And this is funny. I bring it up because I don't think we're the only people who were like this. When we were looking for a new house, mm-hmm. which we did for a long time, we stayed in that house for a very long time.
Before we had kids.
And we looked around and looked and looked and looked. And then when we were trying to move and upgrade to a house with actual closets for me, we looked and looked and looked. We were in the habit. It was a fun thing to do, to go ride around, look at houses. Mm. Oh, is there an open house? Let's jump in here.
Yeah, it was just fun for ideas. And,
call and schedule an appointment. And I literally, we didn't go look at houses because I don't want to move, obviously. But I realized driving around our old neighborhood looking at houses, like, oh, that's for sale. Oh, look, they added on to this. Oh, wow, that's completely different. Yeah. They tore this down. It was so fun. It felt like old times. And the only thing that was missing is that we were not looking for a house.
Right. Which is a good thing.
I know. It's a wonderful thing that we're not. But it was just, I realized how much I missed it. We were in such a habit of doing that. I miss doing it.
It's weird. You almost become addicted to it.
And I'm telling you, that part of town, we probably looked at, I would say, you know, 2 out of 5 houses we've been in.
Oh, yeah. So we drive by. It's like, I remember that one. Oh, they've not changed that one. They've done nothing. It's the same paint.
They're back.
It's a sickness.
Check out the Murphy, Sam & Jody podcast, a free and easy way to catch up on anything that you might have missed in 30 minutes. Pretty easy to download.
Or anything you mixed.
Yes, yeah. That too.
Social Media Connect.
Jody, we've got some emails and some comments for you here
okay.
about the cake stand that you saw in the antique store.
Yay! Yes, I call Angelique. It a cake stand.
Yeah, the cake plate.
Platform.
Angelique says, hey, just curious to see if you went back to buy the cake stand.
I'm supposed to go get it today.
Oh, you're gonna go for it?
I want to. I've priced them on. Here's what I did. I saw it in the store. I wanted it. It called my name from the corner, Jody. But I didn't buy it on the spot. I shopped online and checked the price of new ones, blah, blah, blah. It's not a
Did you call them and tell them to hold it for you?
No. I'm going to let chance. I'm going to let whatever take over. Fate.
It's interesting to me how excited you are about this.
I know. It's pathetic. You know,
it's a cake plate.
No. You know. It's
well,
a
you know
beautiful.
What I'm saying.
It's
get over it. It's a cake plate.
It's okay to get excited about little things. That's the joy
yes,
of
it
life,
is.
Right?
It's beauty. I'm just saying it's interesting. I wouldn't have walked through and thought, you know what, Jody is going to buy that.
It's yeah. a big like wedding cake platform, beautiful thing that I'm going to use for boards and desserts when we have company.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. See, like if you had drinks for a party, that would yeah. be a great thing to put in the middle of the table with all your mixers and drinks. People could reach in and grab.
Yeah, we don't
I mean,
do
I know
that.
You're going to do charcuterie, but I'm saying yeah. it's got many uses.
It does. M-I-N-I uses. Huh?
All right. Now, Tracy says about the After the Show podcast, and we were talking about multitasking.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You three are very good at dealing with life. Oh, thank uh-huh. you. But I would have to say that Jody has an edge over the boys.
I would say that.
Anyway, from what I can tell from here.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's what she says.
I don't think so. I think we all have,
Yeah.
Meaning, and so that podcast was about, you're really task switching in your head. You really can't do multiple things at one time.
Yeah.
But I think the mom brain is a real thing. And I do think that the mom brain works better than the average brain. Just do.
It does. You're able to, it's your superpower when you become a mom that you can remember everything and you're doing so much. That's why it makes you, working women, I think, get more done at work than anybody. But I will say, I'm sorry, this is not a slight, Murphy. I swear, I promise it's not. You know you're the greatest.
What? But I still have to.
But
Sam what? Is one of the only men I've ever met to have mom brain. Sam remembers everything, too.
Yeah.
In fact, Sam never forgets.
Thanks, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you. We love hearing from you. Keep it coming on Instagram and Facebook. Dating red flags after the age of 40. Hmm. It's different than when you're in your 20s and 30s. Your life is, you're discovering everything, but by the time you're in your 40s or older, you have experience.
Yeah.
You have baggage.
Yeah.
You may have children with somebody that you're not with anymore.
Well,
that's
you,
why it's tricky.
You also know what you like and what you dislike. So, right? Exactly.
Right.
I mean, you've really formed your opinions on things that are important to you.
Sam, you're the single one of this
I believe so, yes.
group, so you can tell us if this is yes or no. I do think what you will say as a red flag for dating is different than what women would say. And I have quite a few single friends, and I know they're red flags. And there are a ton of them. Number one, I don't know if this happens to men as often as it does to women, but being asked for money early on.
What?
Financial scammers are everywhere, especially in the dating world.
Oh.
Yeah, that is a big red flag.
If somebody asks you for money early on, or even, it doesn't matter how early on, it's like.
You and
what?
I actually know people that this happened to, Jody. You know?
Yes, in a romantic way.
Yeah.
Like the entry point is, hi, you want to go on a date? You're gorgeous.
Yeah.
Something about you. And, they get you in the heart, and what they really want is the green.
Wow.
It's horrible. And that's never happened to you, Sam?
Well, in a roundabout kind of way, I discovered afterwards, but yes.
Oh.
And I'm not giving out X numbers here.
I didn't even. Okay.
Numbers coincide with names and.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
With X's. Understood.
Another red flag, and this is for men or women dating, is if someone is not interested in or is not good with kids and you have to understand you're coming into the relationship with a past.
Yeah, that's got to especially for the 40 and up.
Yeah,
because
that's what I'm saying.
A lot of those relationships involve kids. And then it's.
Yeah.
Can you make it a. Family, or is it my kids versus your kids?
You have to balance
right.
that, too.
Yeah, it's not an either or. You're right.
Right.
And the answer is yes.
The number.
Also had that issue with an ex.
Did you? I didn't ask
again,
you.
Again, we're not given numbers.
You mean numbers of your exes? Yeah. I can figure things out knowing you. And the number one thing is if they have ongoing drama with their ex and you get pulled into it a lot, or they trash talk their ex a lot.
Yeah, especially like on the first date or something like that. Yeah.
Nobody wants that. Careful.
I was guilty of that one.
I'm sorry, Samson. Yeah. You brought a red
flag. I had
a
lot of ex drama.
Yeah. Not anymore, though?
No, everybody's good. And I'm single.
Sam, after your kids graduate from high school next month, Maddie and Parker.
Yes.
Phoebe does the same. I think the graduation's on the same night, different schools.
Yeah.
We'll be at a Phoebe's graduation, and you'll be at Parker and Maddie's graduation. After that's over, will you highly suggest to your kids that they send thank you notes for anyone who gives them a graduation present?
Yes.
Good. I'm making sure I'm not the only one that's still...
No, that's a good occasion for it.
Right.
I mean, I don't always agree with everything you send thank you notes for, but graduation gifts are one of them.
Yeah, I love it when I've sent you thank you notes in the past and I get from you the next day, Sam, why did you send me a note for that? It's like, because thank you notes are beautiful.
It's Christmas.
Don't let you know, if you owe someone a thank you, a handwritten note is probably the best thing you could do. Top choice.
It really is for any gift, but graduation especially, since a lot of times it's relatives who would, under normal circumstances, really not give you a gift.
Right.
Not for wrong reasons, you know what I'm saying?
It's just true.
I got nothing for you, kid.
Right.
But it's a milestone in life.
That's how I got my first cross pin.
Ugh, okay.
Do those even exist anymore?
Probably.
Don't know.
His does.
Actually, I do still have mine.
Of course. The reason I bring it up is because after this will be one of the last things that I ever sort of insist. I've never been overbearing about it with our girls. And I wanted them to write thank you notes when they were smaller for certain occasions, and they mostly didn't. When Taylor graduated high school, I sort of insisted because she got all this cool stuff. I'm like, you've got to write some thank you notes. And she did.
She did.
Phoebe doesn't know this is coming, but I did her invitations for her and sent those off.
Mm-hmm.
But when she starts getting money or gift cards or whatever she gets, I'm going to give her the things and go, look, here's what you... I think she's an old soul enough that she's going to want to do it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Write some thank you notes.
Yeah, I can see that.
What if she doesn't? Are you going to do it?
No, of course not.
Jody will not do that for her.
No way. That needs to come from the person in their language, from their heart. I just realized, though, it'll be one of the last things I ever sort of really suggest. Because once, you know, she's in college and moving on with her life, I'm not going to be, hey, I think you should do this.
Whatever, Mom.
Time to back out. Back up. I brought a little show and tell today.
Okay.
Guys.
Love show and tell, Jody.
Your food?
I'm sorry, nothing for you to eat yet. Okay, Murphy, I should have shown you this at home, but I picked it up. I bought it this week. I left it in my car, so it's with me here.
This is your estate sale find, isn't it?
No, it's not an estate sale. It was like an antique store.
Oh, that's right. An antique store. I'm sorry.
Thrifting, antiquing with Phoebes, and I saw it, and I was like, I had to have it. Remember?
Yeah.
Cake stand.
Yeah.
Or cake platter. Or
the giant cake platter.
You ready? Wow! Oh. Isn't she gorgeous?
That is much bigger than I thought.
I know! When we have parties at the house now, Murphy, I'm going to have 3 and 4 desserts on this thing. Or I'm going to fill it like a food board.
Wow.
Where's the dent? Didn't you say they had a dent in it?
Right here. It's very minor.
Oh, that's...
When you're buying something, you don't want it dented. Oh, this one's used. Yeah. This was used for a big wedding.
So for anybody that's not seen this, it's about 2.5 feet wide across, maybe. Is that right?
She's going to drop it. She's going to
drop it.
It's a circular cake platter that's almost 3 feet across.
22 inches. 22-inch cake platter.
Okay.
That's what it said on the tag. I didn't measure it.
Yeah, okay.
Is that aluminum or tin?
I have no idea. Isn't she lovely? You guys want to hold her?
See, do you see what I'm saying, though, about using it for more than
light
charcuterie or cakes?
100%. The girl...
That's a centerpiece for any party.
The lady who... That's a centerpiece for my home. The lady who checked me out, she was like... And she's like, what are you planning to do with this? I said, it's not going to be for wedding cakes for me. I said, I'm going to, when I have people over, I'm going to fill it with food, like a board, or just cakes and dessert. Mm-hmm. And she said, this is good for any day. And I said, I have a big round table, dining table. She was like, oh, you need to put this in the center of it. I'm like, you better believe it. It is new to me, and I'm so excited about it.
That's cool. It's
you like
very
the sound of it?
Different, yeah.
It's actually something
I don't know
you
why
have...
I thought it was the size of a cake. It's much bigger.
No, that's oh, yeah. But this is a wedding cake stand, guys. This mm-hmm. is what I've been trying to describe to you, and it, I bought it,
looks,
it used.
Yeah, it looks like the kind they used in the days of yore, doesn't it?
It looks like something from Game of Thrones.
Oh, Lord. How much did you pay for that?
Less than I would have knew. That's why I waited.
I think it was a couple of sixpence.
I waited a fortnight to get it.
All right.